Dahi Mackay also joins us this morning, former Sinn Féin MLA. How are you?
Very well.
Yes,
very relaxed.
Have you enjoyed this election?
It's very interesting to see things from the other side, but I think this is the most fascinating election we've seen since perhaps 2003. The amount of uncertainty, the amount of different factors were...
How will they be feeling, all those potential, all the candidates this morning? How will they be? Will they be that nervous? Will they be confident?
Well, the heart rate will be up because it's going from 6 to 5, and because you have this added factor of how the DUP have handled the past few months. There'll be a lot of nervous DUP MLAs, but that will go across the board because there's a lot of sitting MLAs who would have got in last year very comfortably, but they get in the sixth seat or the fifth seat and they will be feeling very uneasy at this time.
Okay, we were talking about The View last night with Mark Carruthers, former DUP MLA. David McIlveen had some strong words to describe the unionist leaders on the programme.
Because I think it's fair to say that when you look at the two leaders of the unionist parties compared to elections of the past, which you'll have been well remember broadcasting on, which were full of excitement, full of charisma. I mean, I think if we look at the two unionist leaders now, there's about as much charisma in a piece of tofu. And I think we have to be completely, you know, honest about that, that when the results do start to come in tomorrow, that it will be very much on the basis of who I didn't want to vote for rather than who I did.
A piece of tofu, Dahi?
Yes, and in many ways...
Don't you be laughing, Alex Kane. I'll come to you in a moment.
In many ways, I think he's right. I mean, Arlene struggled to land any blows. She was being laughed at by many studio audiences over the past couple of weeks. And I think that there are a couple of stories here. I mean, I agree with Alex. I think that unionist MLAs, there's a good chance they will drop below 50% of the Assembly. There will be a reawakening of Republicans and Nationalists, especially in the West. We'll see an increase in the vote. But watch the others as well, as they're termed in the Assembly, the Alliance and the Greens. I'm certainly picking up that a lot of younger Nationalists are widening their palate and thinking, well, my parents might have voted Sinn Féin or SDLP, but they are thinking, well, why not Alliance or Greens? So that might...
Or Eamon McGann in his Bambi jacket.
Possibly. I think Eamon has suffered some damage in Derry. I do think there's enough voters there who... will never vote Sinn Féin or the SDLP, especially some of those who back the independent councillors there, who will plump for Eamon this time. But I've spoken to a number of people who said that previously they'd considered giving Eamon a transfer, but because the Brexit situation, the Brexit position by people before profit has made them so angry, especially in places like Derry. I work in Derry. All the business community there are talking about is Brexit and the impact is going to have on many factories and workforces there. I think McCann has done himself some damage by taking that position, but he may still survive.
Well, I want to hear from you this morning if you did vote, or maybe if you didn't, and you feel like you had a passionate reason not to do so, but if you feel like you want to share that with us, 0-30-30-80-55-55, did you feel the value of your vote when you went in and you marked those boxes with the different numbers, or did you feel like you were doing it just because you felt like you had to? There was no passion, there was no control behind it. Fra is on the line from Belfast. Good morning, Fra.
Morning, Vinny. How are you?
Not bad. Go ahead.
Vinny, the first thing I want to do is actually congratulate the Nolan Show on the manifesto interviews, and especially being able to watch them live on Facebook, because it made very, very, very entertaining and interesting viewing to watch some of our politicians that people may have elected yesterday squirm when challenged. And like, I watched all the debates.
But why do you want to see them squirm, Fra? Like, we want these people to represent us, to make decisions on health and education and look after us, you know, be the top of the country. So why do we want to see them suffer?
Okay, well, it's not that I take particular pleasure in watching someone feel uncomfortable.
It sounded a bit like you did, Fra.
Yes, but what I'm trying to say is they were properly challenged. The problem is a lot of the parties, obviously the sit-down, are the pro-Brexit or the pro-Europe. How do you spend the money? How do you cut up the block grant? How do you, you know, invest that money into society? How do you rob Peter to pay Paul when we're living in neoliberal austerity and implementing British Tory kind of cuts in the north? So when you actually put them... challenge them on, you know, how they were going to find money. I heard people like, I don't know a lot about the Alliance Party, but I'm going to talk about water taxes, and then I think, hold on a wee second, they sound like a pro-conservative type party that want to increase taxes.
Well, here, what about yourself, Fra? Did you vote?
No, I didn't vote. Vinny, I run in three elections as an independent candidate in North Belfast.
So are you bitter?
No, absolutely not.
So why didn't you vote?
I'll tell you why I didn't vote. I genuinely believe that Stormont is irreformable. My view, this is my personal view, and I stood as an independent, so I feel I can stand up with this. I give democracy a chance. I voted for the 10 years that people have been in power. I stood against them in several of the elections because I believe that the public need a genuine alternative, which I think now the Green Party, People Before Profit, the Workers' Party and others now represent a genuine kind of left-wing socialist alternative of what we have up there. But we give them 10 years in power. We give them every opportunity to come together. People voted for peace, if we remember that firstly. People voted for peace. They voted in huge numbers for Sinn Féin and the DUP to tie them into the process, to end the conflict and to lead to a more normalised, safer society for everyone, for our children,
okay,
and our grandchildren. But all they've done since they got into power is RHI has brought out a huge kind of protest vote, I believe, yesterday. Now, that was in the last assembly. The previous assemblies, and SIF was in the last assembly as well, the previous ones you have Red Sky and NAMA, double jobbing and expenses. So all the way through, since we voted these people in and we were promised local accountability, there's been no accountability. Arlene Foster hasn't stood aside. The ministers haven't taken responsibility for their gas with public expenditure. And it's just a joke.
Okay. Fra, thank you. Alison, just to pick up briefly on something that Fra said there, do you think, RHA aside, are we very tough on our politicians? We seem to be extremely critical for these people that want to put themselves in that position.
I think that, okay, you could argue that we're being overcritical, but let's look at the facts. I mean, the facts are that we were less than eight months from our last election, and we're having another election because they weren't able to work together. If those people were the CEOs or managers of any private company, they would all have been sacked. Because if you give someone a job to do, and then they say to you 7 months later, I can't do that job, well, then you just hire somebody else. The problem with both politicians is, especially politicians here, we do have quite a small pool to work from, and also we're looking at issues that involve legacy and the history of our troubles and the history of our conflict, and also at the same time trying to look forward to things like health and education and jobs and the social issues around same-sex marriage and abortion and all those sort of things. And I think that makes us probably unique in respect that other devolved assemblies such as Scotland and Wales wouldn't have those same issues to look at. So they do have a difficult job, and we recognise they have a difficult job. And I deal with politicians every day, as do you, and I know there's some really competent, really enthusiastic people.
Exactly, but quite often they get overshadowed by the people we have issues with.
They do, because it's probably, you know, the sort of empty bottles making the most sound. But I think at this stage in the game, you have to say that they failed. Okay, we have to say that this is a failure. To have an election 8 months after the last election is a failure, no matter what way you look at it. So they probably deserve quite a lot of criticism in that respect. But I also have to look at the results from today and accept that we live in a democracy, that the people are going to make their decision, they're going to vote, they're going to elect people. And then what we have to do is give those people a chance to try and get that back off the ground and get it up and running again.
Okay.
Because, as we know, what is the alternative? Direct rule under a Tory government, that's not going to help any.
Okay, Alison Morris from the Irish News, thank you very much. Claire Hannah from the SDLP joins us as well. Good morning, Claire.
Morning.
How are you feeling this morning?
Well, we're flying blind, but I think anybody who's making predictions now is being very premature. It's all straws in the wind until we start to get some numbers around lunchtime. I mean, the turnout is up, which is a good thing. If more people are engaging, that definitely can't be a bad thing. But obviously, if it's up across the board, it just makes the quota, the target number of votes for a seat, and the whole dynamic going from 6 to 5 seats, it's really very difficult to call. But like Alison says, we did have an election at the back of failure, and it remains to be seen whether or not there's any consequence left.
Are you nervous? Hello, Claire. I think we seem to have lost Claire. We'll try and get her back. Dahi, we were talking there briefly with Alison in terms of our MLAs and our politicians and how tough some people might say that we are. And then as a former MLA yourself, would you ever consider going back in, or just reflecting back on that position?
I think I've served my time. I have no
that's not what I asked you,
to rush back in. But it is a tough position. You need to be very, very hard-skinned. And certainly I have no doubt that Arlene Foster in particular is going through a very, very difficult time personally. That's the nature of the game. That's what we all sign up to. But there are many, many MLAs who work 7 days a week under immense stress, and they do deserve some respect for putting themselves forward for that position.
That's a very, like a politician's answer there, Alex Keane.
It is, but actually I have to say on this occasion, I do agree with Daphne, because I worked up in the Assembly for years.
Be agreeing with
him. No, as a backroom boy, this notion that people say, oh, Assembly members, they're all paid a fortune, they're swanning around their new cars and new houses and things like that. For a large period, it's I was going to say miserable job, that's maybe the wrong description, but your life is not your own. I know MLAs who used to tell me, particularly in rural constituencies, they'd be phoned by constituents at 6 o'clock in the morning. Farmers would be awake saying, oh, I thought I'd get you before you go to Stormont. They'd be phoned at 11, 12 o'clock. If they went anywhere, they would be stopped in the street, people saying, I want my house done, I want this done, what about this, what about that? Their constituency, you never know, it's the death, they'll know this is what, you never know who is going to walk through that door. It's not a fun job in many ways.
Well, David Gordon, you'll identify with that. It's not a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say that wearing two hats at the same time, or having worn two hats, I've made a living out of giving politicians. And
one hat at a time, David Gordon.
And civil servants a hard time, but I think when you see them up close, there is a case for saying that, you know, the vast bulk of politicians on all sides are trying to make a difference and do what they consider to be the right thing. The problem is their definition of the right thing vastly different from the guy, the woman sitting next to them in the Assembly. So that's that, you know, I think they have to give them some slack. And I think, you know, Alison is right. The thing has collapsed. That's nobody's definition of success in any way. But, you know, at some stage, you would hope that we move on and have maybe quieter and better conversations about policy issues, about our health service, and how we sort out the traffic congestion and get better infrastructure, and how we get the education system to deliver better. All those sort of things. You know, we eventually move on to the old-fashioned business of muddling through government and doing the bread-and-butter policy stuff. At some stage, we're going to have to get to that.
David, you'll, of course, have more of an insight than many about what happened. So, from your point of view, where did it all go wrong on the Hill?
I think it was a combination of things. I think, I don't believe, you know, don't buy the notion that they were all at each other's throats and that anything else was just spin. There was a serious attempt to work together. The fact that didn't work, you know, lessons that we learned from that, we had to work out, you know, so there were a lot of factors coming together. Alison's mentioned the point about Sinn Féin base, and that's definitely true. Also, I mean, the DUP would tell you that their base is by no means happy with the position they were in, sharing power with Sinn Féin. So all the factors that came together, Brexit, difficult budget, same-sex marriage.
Well, when did you realise then that the game was up and that you would be looking for another job?
I think around Christmas, things had crystallised from, you know, it looked like the executive was going to try and get through the RHI thing together, and that very quickly fell apart. And then we had the step aside stalemate, and it was very difficult to see a way through that. And I can remember sitting at an event with my wife at Christmas and just thinking, I don't see it coming out of this. That's taken a while, but, you know, we're back to where we are, though. You know, back into the what happens next situation. It may be that, you know, as Alex is right, that the two big parties are still the two big parties and way ahead of everybody else. And so we're back.
Yeah.
Either them finding some way of working together or some kind of direct rule.
In reflection, do you think, David, you misjudged the DUP and the Sinn Féin's potential to work together when you took that executive press secretary job?
It's very hard to say. I don't usually do regrets. I think it's a good question. I haven't really got the answer to that yet, but I do believe there was...
Well, I'll give it a go. Did you misjudge it?
I believed and still believe that the people I spoke to were serious people intended to try to make it work. And the fact that it didn't work wasn't actually their fault. And it was just, you know, a combination of facts, a perfect storm. And maybe, to quote Eamon McCann, you know, the whole thing collapsed under the weight of its own internal contradictions. And that's the big issue. Can it be made to work again?
So, maybe this is an unfair question, but do you regret your move? I know it's a strange question, considering you were the editor of this programme beforehand.
I regret escaping from the Nolan Show.
Well, do you regret taking that position, leaving one?
Given the fact there's some kind of uncertainty and I have no great plans for the future, and my wife may hear this and condemn me, but I'm not sure I do regret it, in the sense I've had a fascinating time, but a ringside seat in history. I've learned a lot more about how government works on the other side. So older, a wee bit wiser, a bit more experienced, and it has been fascinating. And, you know, as someone who is a political anorak, to see it from the other side has been amazing. So, you know, who knows? If you ask me in another year's time...
You'll probably give me the same answer.
I know, a lot of years' time, if I'm still tweeting eating will work for food. I might have a different answer.
Well, what is next for you then? Are you going to get a big payoff and take another?
First person asked this question, no severance payment whatsoever. I can confirm that today. So I'm now doing a wee bit of analysis and journalism, and I'll see what comes around the corner. I don't know.
Another book, perhaps?
It's possible. I mean, if you're looking for a kiss and tell inside sexy story of how it all fell apart, there is no really inside sexy story. It's quite mundane, quite depressing. So whether you want to go through it all again for the sake of a 70,000-word book, I'm not sure.
Well, what was, and this is a serious question, David, what was more difficult, that executive press secretary job or being the editor of this programme? An editor of Stephen, to be fair, that's maybe more specific.
Well, I've said all along, people ask me what it's like working on the show, that it's, the best job I've ever had and the worst job I've ever had, sometimes both in the same day. So it was less unpredictable being executive press secretary than being the Nolan Show editor.
So you still haven't answered the question, though. Which one was more difficult?
I don't know the answer to that.
You do know the answer, David. I've known you for many years. Just answer the question.
There's not a black and white. Typical Nolan Show, trying to everything down to black or white. Sometimes there's shades of grey, and it's time you learned that.
He's been hanging out with those politicians for too long.
Indeed. Alex, any questions you'd like to ask David Gordon? He seems in good form this morning.
I was going to say, David...
Not very open. He's given politicians answers, but...
He's learned quickly. And I was going to say, I think when you talked about that question about whether it was the right move, I think, David, there was a moment, I think, between November 2015 when Sinn Féin and the DUP took joint control of the Fresh Start and showed a willingness to work. And then right the way through till November, I think November the 21st, when they had that joint statement. But I think even cynics like me thought something is changing. The body language between these parties is maybe changing. So I think in that sense, it was probably the right thing for David to do. The circumstances looked right. And he's also right that nobody saw this coming. Not one person predicted the collapse of this assembly in these circumstances.
Well, David definitely didn't.
No, but it's the internal contradictions. And that's the thing I've been saying for years and years when people say, will there ever be peace? Will there ever be stability? Will there ever be this? At the heart of it, and I think David touched upon it there, there are bases in both Sinn Féin and the DUP who do not want to work together. And it's that, those shifting tectonic political plates, which make it very, very difficult for the leaders of both those parties.
And it's not just a question of not wanting to work together. They want completely contradictory.
Absolutely,
things.
Yes,
they
that's true, yes.
Mutually exclusive things from each other, and the diet will give an incentive to that as well.
Yeah.
That is a hard, government is hard, particularly in times of austerity. Coalition government harder, but a coalition of DUP and Sinn Féin is a big ask.
Well, Dahi, as a former sinner yourself, do you think, can they ever work together?
I think they can, but the problem for perhaps both parties, but certainly Sinn Féin, is that you have a system that guarantees gridlock. Now, I think that suits the DUP better than it does Sinn Féin, because Sinn Féin supporters and the Sinn Féin base that have now come out are clearly saying they want to see change, they want to see reform, and the worst thing that Sinn Féin could do now would be to go back in with the DUP under the same system where each side has a veto, because that will undermine the Republican base further and perhaps leave their flank open to whoever's coming next in terms of the political opposition. So I think there needs to be considerable consideration of political reform, because I don't think the present system works. I don't think it works for those within politics that want to see reform, that want to see marriage equality, that want to see a more liberal approach to politics. So I think whereby Sinn Féin put great truck into the equality safeguards, and rightly so, I think they need to look at other models, perhaps weighted majorities or a hybrid model, a weighted majority with some equality safeguards attached.
Well, that won't happen overnight, though. I mean, that's a long talk process then, so do you think we're looking at direct rule?
I don't think so. I mean, the Tory government don't want direct rule. I don't think Republicans want direct rule, because this isn't Labour direct rule. This is Tory direct rule, which is Unionist direct rule. So I think that once you open that Pandora's box, it could be quite difficult to close again. So Sinn Féin have to strike the balance in the negotiations that they don't settle for too little,
okay,
but also that they don't go too far and have the Tories run on this place.
Dahi, just before we finish for the news at 10 o'clock, your former seat, North Antrim, MLA, and there was a bit of a backlash towards Sinn Féin in terms of how you exited that seat. Who would you like to see get your old seat?
I'm a political commentator now, so I can't... So I can't show preference to any candidate.
You can say whatever you want.
But I think, North Antrim, I've compared it to sports clubs and other organisations. These things can get quite nastily internally.
Watch this politician's answer. Who would you like to get? Would you like to see the Shinners get that?
Well, I would like to see as many Republicans and progressive candidates returned as possible.
Monica Dickney?
So we'll see.
Monica, no?
Well, we'll see what the other turn is.
Who would you like to see?
I didn't
who
know
that. Who would you like to see get that seat? Why did I not ask him this 10 minutes ago? He's going to squirm until the news.
I need to maintain my neutrality as a political commentator.
No,
so
as a former Sinn Féin MLA, I'm not sure you do.
Well, the more Republican and progressive MLAs are turned, the better. And I'm not going to add to any of the animosity that exists in North Antrim.
We'll get that. Get off that fence there, Dahi. Watch your backside. That's Dahi Mackay, Alex Kane, David Corden, and Alison Morris.